The first and foremost thing I would say for anybody to be a good host, it has to be an inborn nature. It has to be, something that comes naturally to you.
Welcome to the Airbnb Tales podcast. Today we have with us a localite from Bangalore, Veena Nanda. She is an entrepreneur doing multiple businesses and has been hosting on Airbnb for the past 3 years, of course as a super host. She is also a professional landscapist and a bonsai expert, and she also specializes in Tanjore paintings. So hi Veena, welcome to the show.
Hi Manish, hi.
I hope I did not miss out anything on that intro. Tell us something more about yourself.
I've been quite an entrepreneur, I must say. I've been doing quite a few things in life, and I started off, I'd say I got married very early, at almost at 19, so I was an undergraduate, but still remained a homemaker for about 23 years, so started my professional life very late, maybe at about 43. And when it was no looking back after that, so it was like, at 43, I started, and I think in 4 years, it was a absolute steady growth, and started as a PR professional by default.
Okay.
And I, in fact, was a South India head for a Singapore company initially, and then I went on to being a country head of another company, and then I became a vice president of an aviation company.
Okay.
And then became a director of another PR company. So it was like a super fast growth in about 4 to 5 years. And after that, I kind of settled off with starting my own boutique, because I'm basically a gardener. I would call myself a humble gardener, actually. So I'm very passionate about gardening, and landscaping has been my profession. I started off with a garden boutique. After my growth in career, I kind of stopped working. I said, okay, let me kind of stick on to doing
You took
something.
a break and you wanted to pursue,
Yeah, I said, might as well do something that I'm passionate about,
Right.
How a 9-to-5 job is. So I said, okay, enough of all this. So I went on to opening my own store, and which was a garden store, very exclusive in the country again.
All right,
And
nice.
it was one of its kind. I kind
And
of
how long have you been running the store?
I actually closed it down 2 years back, Manish. That's when I kind of started the Airbnb, 3 years back, in fact. So I ran the store for about 9 years. So it was a very exclusive kind of a thing. I had products from all over the world that I was selling for the outdoors. And of course, landscaping side by side went along with it. And about 3 years ago, I was, due to circumstances and, I had to close my store down.
Yeah, that must have been a little.
That was very, very hard. That
Yeah.
was really very hard. And especially for a lady, and, as a single lady with losing all your, your
Yeah,
career, you
absolutely.
lost your job, you don't have your shop, and, it's like, what's next? And thankfully, my kids were grown up, and they're all settled abroad. So I was alone, and I think that was when I really put my mind to thinking, what next? What do I do? And I think that's one point in life all of us get, and when it happens to you at a little later stage, then you're kind of caught up.
Yeah, it's better late than never, also, right?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I'd still say it wasn't too late.
Okay.
It was still when I was, young at heart, and still had all the energy to do whatever I wanted to do. So I said, okay, let me think about other ways where I could set up things within a home.
So that's when you
And
got to hear about Airbnb, is it?
yeah, so that was around the time when my daughters, who are both in London, so they were visiting me, and I'd moved into this larger independent villa in Indranagar in Bangalore.
Okay.
And it was a huge place. So
This is your own place?
no, this is rented. So I
Okay.
earlier lived in my own place, which I gave away on rent.
Okay.
And then I moved into a big bungalow with absolutely no clue about hosting, absolutely no idea about Airbnb. I had no plans about starting something like this here. So my idea of moving into a big place like this all alone also was thinking I'd, you know, have a shop within the house. And, you know,
This was
because I
around
also
2014.
2015 beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved in and then I said, okay, let me set up a store. And, you know, I'm basically into landscaping. So I thought I'll, you know, I also conduct workshops for bonsais. I specialize in bonsais.
Wow, okay. I think you should do the Airbnb experience once it comes up, right?
Yes, I do it. So then I said, let me just stick to doing these kind of things at home. But then my daughter was visiting me from London, and then, you know, she gave me the idea and she said, Mom, you know, why don't you just put it on Airbnb and try, because your room's anyway available.
Right.
So I said, okay. So it's a 3-bedroom house, and so one is my room, and so I rented out only one room on Airbnb initially, and the other room was part of my store. But then it took off really well. I mean, my first year, in fact, was very, very, I would say it was the best year for me.
That was when there was no much competition as well, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's, you know, and also I think when you start, your tariff is a little lesser, and, you know, you're not very, very picky and choosy. You just want to have, you know, guests. So I was lucky that I had very good guests the first year itself.
So who was your first guest? Do you have a...
My first guest was this boy from Hyderabad who was traveling to Bangalore with his sister. And so
how was that experience, you know, hosting for the first time for a stranger in your house?
Nice. It was nice. It was fun, actually, because they were really nice people, and it was a learning experience for me also. So and thereon, I think the first year I had like almost about 80% booking per every month.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a super, you know, and I went crazy. I was like, wow, this is the space to be in, you know. It was like so good. And I've hosted kind of guests from all over, and it's been a wonderful experience, yeah.
So being from Bangalore, do you think that helped out in, you know, hosting? Because you may have, you're from Bangalore, right, if I'm not wrong?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so if you know all the local places and all that. So how did that help, or what helped you, you know, become the host you are right now?
Well, I think the first and foremost thing I would say for anybody to be a good host, it has to be inborn nature. It has to be, you know, something that comes naturally to you, because you need to have an open heart. You need to be, especially when you're hosting within your home. You know, if you're just giving away your keys, then it's a different story. But when you're hosting within your home, it's I think your nature has to be, you need to be friendly, you need to be very giving, you need to be very, you know, accommodating, because otherwise it's very difficult. Because I've had so many people ask me, how do you allow a stranger into your house? Are you crazy?
Exactly.
You know, so these apprehensions do exist still in India, especially, and people are still close-minded. So I think first and foremost, it was that nature of mine of being very friendly and open-minded to, you know, meeting people. And I just thought it's so nice, you know, having the world at your doorstep. So it was really good that way. And of course, secondly, I'm from Bangalore, so I normally spend a lot of time the first day when they arrive. I don't, probe too much afterwards. I give them their space.
Right.
But the day they come, I try and sit with them mostly during breakfast and, you know, have a chat and find out what exactly they're here for. So I get a lot of corporates where then I can't do much. But if they're on a holiday, then yes, I do sit with them and help them plan their itinerary in Bangalore, around South India. I do South India trips for them. I kind of...
Really do you like help them with the itinerary?
Once I've understood what exactly they want to do, because a lot of people really don't want to go sightseeing. And some of them are here for the first time. Some of them are here just to, you know, see more of the historical places around Bangalore, not necessarily in Bangalore. So then I kind of plan their stay for the next 3 days that they're here. Maybe one day send them around whatever they want to see in Bangalore, and then send them off to places like Mysore, Belur, Halebid, or Hampi, or, you know, Bangalore is surrounded by so many. And I've sent people to Kaveri fishing camp. Bangalore actually we're blessed with some of the best places around us. But unfortunately, you know, getting there, people don't know how to do it.
That's the big problem, yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, you know, where do you stay? And that's the first thing I do with them. And especially if they're with kids, what are the kind of things that they can do, they can't do? So I think that helps them, and that kind of puts them at ease straight away, including their, you know, organizing their vehicles or their bookings.
Do you accompany them as well for some local?
Not really, but if it is like maybe for a dinner or a lunch or something, then I sometimes step out with them. But mostly, no, not to the other places. I don't normally go with them. I think being a Bangalorean that way, yes, it has helped.
Okay. Have you had any interesting stories or experiences to tell during your hosting journey?
Oh, yeah, quite a few, actually. I've had all kinds of funny experiences, I must say.
Okay.
And scary, too. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah. So I had this, she was actually a Scottish yogic. Who okay. was here with me, and she came here to do a yoga for about, I think she stayed with me for about 2 months.
That's quite a name, you know, Scottish yogic.
Yes, I know. She was totally into yoga and so totally into Indian religion.
Okay, okay.
So she was with me, and the first day I kind of, her room was right opposite mine, so I could smell this, you know, agarbatti incense as being in from her room. So I was quite shocked. So I went there, and she had these three goddesses or Indian goddesses, and she was, you know, she had the agarbatti in front of it in the room. She had set up a table for that. So I was like, how come? So she said, no, somebody gifted me these pictures a couple of years back, and ever since I only worship to the goddess. So I said, that's really nice. And she was like totally into religion.
Okay.
And I think a week after that, I was visiting a very ancient Devi temple, which I normally go to. So she said, hey, you know what? I want to come along. I said, yeah, sure, come. So we went there and came back. She was like totally floored by the temple and everything. So I think when she came back, she got a little overexcited and, you
overwhelmed.
Know, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I think she thought she'll upgrade her faith in the Indian goddess. So what she did was she shifted the entire setup of the puja that she had. She shifted it to another place, which was under my TV.
Okay.
So there was a TV under that. There I had a little shelf where I keep my remotes and the AC remote and all of that.
Right. In your living room.
So she set it up there.
Yeah.
And she thought, you know, instead of just agarbatti, why not light a lamp? So she lit a candle under that.
Okay.
And the space between the flame and my TV was about an inch.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, so the TV actually got burnt.
Oh, my God.
So that was like crazy. But she was such a sweetheart. She had stayed with me for, by then, about a month and a half almost.
Okay.
And she left home in the morning doing that, and she came, and we could smell something burning, and we went in. Thankfully,
the house didn't catch fire. Right?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it was on that part of the TV where the wires were not there. So thankfully, it was just the body of the TV that got burned,
right.
And otherwise, it could have short circuited, and then it could have been a crazy episode at home.
God, yeah. Fire station, yeah. Everyone would have come to your place, and what are you doing? Why are you hosting?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so that was like really, really crazy. But still, and then of course she went out of the way to, you know, ask if she needed to replace it or pay it. Now this is the difference between, I think, Indian hosting and you know, somebody abroad. I'm sure out of India they would have charged her crazy for it. And, you know, so anyway, I just let her go. I said, the TV is still working, so it's okay. Don't worry. Just,
okay.
You know,
okay.
Bother.
That's quite a story.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing.
What
and
is the scary thing you were talking about?
Scary was, I had a Turkish lady.
I mean, this also was scary, but yeah.
Yeah, this was also scary. No, I had a Turkish lady with me who was actually, I didn't realize she was very petrified by everything in India, actually. So
right.
She stepped out.
Stereotype,
she,
right?
Yeah, she would run back into the house and say, oh my God, I can't take population, and she'd run back. And then she'll take a cab, and she said one day she'll go for a massage, I sent her, and she came back in the same cab in 5 minutes, and I said, what happened? She said, no, there's like, you know, there's so much of traffic, and I can't take this. And I said, okay, fine. I just still thought maybe, you know, first trip to India. And then she locked herself in the room for about a day. After that, she didn't come out.
Okay.
And then the next day, she peeped out of her room. She normally came down to my garden to have tea, but she peeped out and she just said, you know, can you send me tea up? So I figured there wasn't something right. And then I went up and I was like, are you okay? And she said, she was lying flat on the bed. And I said, are you okay? She said, no, I'm not. I said, okay, maybe you're just dehydrated. And so I just gave her some, you know, lime water and tried taking care of her. And got a tender coconut. And I said, okay, just relax. And if you're still not okay in a while, do you want to go to a doctor now? She said, no, I'm fine. I said, okay, just rest it out and we'll see in a while. So she said, okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
I left her there and just went back to my room. And in 2 minutes, she was like, Veena, Veena. She was like screaming all over the place.
Wow. Okay.
And I went back running. I said, what happened? She said, I can't breathe. I think I'm dying. And I tell you, oh my God, I was dying hearing that.
Okay.
That was so crazy. I said, why? What's happening? She said, I don't know. I can't breathe. And I don't think I'll live. I think I'm dying.
Oh, my
I said,
God.
Hey, can I? And luckily, my son was visiting me that day. And I said, you know, can we just pick you up and put you in the car? I can take you to the doctor. So she said, no, I don't think I can even lift my head.
Okay.
I'm not okay. So then I called for my family doctor. And she came here. She came right away. And she checked her out, and the minute she came also, and you know, a doctor normally asks you 2-3 questions about your health past. She was like, don't ask me questions, you know, just don't ask me. I can't answer anybody.
Okay.
And I was standing there. My son was standing. She says, just leave the room. And I just want to see blank walls. Just go away from here. You know, I don't want to see anybody around. And then I came out and then I asked the doctor, and she said, you know what, she's a dangerous case, you know, so it could be a suicidal kind of a you know, girl as well. So sooner you kind of send her away, it's better, because there's nothing wrong with her, because she's checked all her parameters. BP was fine. Everything was health-wise. She was absolutely fine. So then she told me, she said, yes, I'm going through depression and I'm taking some kind of a course. So I'll call my guru back there and find out. Then I realized, then that same night, she was supposed to take a bus alone to Pondicherry.
Right.
So I didn't allow her to go, you know, because she's leaving from my house as
right.
my guest.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and God forbid if she had to collapse on the bus, the first thing they would come back is to my house to check where she left from.
Exactly.
You know? So I said, no, I'm not letting you go alone. I'm sorry, but you'd have to make some arrangements. So she had her friend drive down from Pondi that night, and
okay.
they came here at 5 in the morning, picked her up, and then they drove her back to Pondicherry. So
okay. That's quite a
that
story.
Was like, oh, yes, that was very scary, very, very. So these things, I think, hosts should be prepared for, you know.
Yeah, that's
a doctor
true.
On call, and thankfully I had a doctor on call, so that helped.
And you had your son as well, so.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had been alone, it would have been a different story.
Oh, my God, I would have been, like, really scared, really, really scared. So.
Okay. Have you had any positive experiences hosting on Airbnb, or maybe some stories that you would like to tell?
Oh, plenty of positive. I think most of my guests have been wonderful, wonderful. I've had, I've hosted people, I'd say thankfully, all nationalities.
Wow.
I don't really see, I've had guests
from all continents at least, right? Except
all
for
continents,
maybe Antarctica.
Yes.
And,
I've had from France, from Greece, Germany, Africa, plenty from US. Then from Tokyo, from Japan, I've had, in fact, I have a guest now living with me also from Japan.
Oh, okay.
Then from Singapore, and Sweden, Turkey, so I think from everywhere, Scotland, Australia plenty.
So what have you learned from hosting, you know, multiple nationalities, and is there
It's really wonderful because each one comes with so much
culture and
so much to learn from, especially if you're the type who likes sitting and interacting. But if you're just going to check them in and not do anything with them, then yes, then nothing. But I do spend a lot of time talking to them and understanding their culture. And, and they really go out of the way to understand Indian culture, Indian religion, Indian, food. They want to know everything about India. There's nothing that they leave. So that way it's really good. It's like I think I've had wonderful experiences. I've made great friends from people. Most of my guests are my best of my buddies now. So,
okay, that's the best part of Airbnb, right? You come as a guest, you leave as a friend.
Absolutely, absolutely. But again, I would say it's also your mindset. I know a lot of hosts who don't interact at all.
Yeah, a lot of Indian guests, hosts, they're a little apprehensive also while hosting foreign guests.
That's the biggest problem, I think, in India, because that from both sides. So as a guest, I think people are a little hesitant as to what kind of a place they're going to be staying in, because homestays are still not so popular here. So that's one fear they also have. And as a host, I think it's a scary thing, because especially if you're a lady like this living alone, then you can have a little apprehensions about what kind of people you're going to get, expectations can also go a little I think Indian guests are, I'm sorry to say, but even more difficult than the ones who come from abroad.
Why do you say that?
Because in India, I think we are expectations are too high. They don't realize there is a difference between a hotel and a homestay. When they're staying with you, they expect it to be as perfect as a hotel, though you go out of the way to, provide everything that you can. But still, they don't realize that it's like, I've paid for it, so paisa vasool karo, kind.
Yeah, but that's not every Indian, man. Some people
not do every Indian. No, not every Indian.
Exactly.
So I've had some wonderful Indians, I've had one bad experience, actually, just one with an Indian that way.
Okay. Can you tell us about it?
Where he was supposed to check in at around 7:30 in the morning that day.
Okay.
And for some reason, his flight came late, and he arrived, I think, only by around, 12:30, 1 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And so I was like, it's way past breakfast time. So I normally, my tariff includes breakfast. So since he came at 12:30, I presumed he had had breakfast and come. And so they checked and I showed them the room up. And I said, I guess you've already eaten something. So can I give you some tea, coffee?
Yeah. So you were talking about, the Indian host who came late and all that.
Yeah. So he checked in late at 12:30. And so I presumed he had had breakfast. And so the lady behind kept saying, she was standing behind him. And she said, oh, yes. We've already eaten and thank you very much. And he was like, no, I will eat.
Oh.
And she's like, listen, we've just had breakfast. She said, no, I will eat. I will have breakfast. So I said, what will you have? And he didn't even know what to ask for. I said, what will you have? And he's like, I'll have egg roast. I said, egg roast? I'm sorry, I can give you anything else in egg
okay.
roast. I just don't know what that is. So then he says, I'll have bread with some chocolate spread. I said, well, even that I don't have. I'm sorry. Because he didn't know what he wanted to ask, but he just wanted it because he had paid for breakfast.
Exactly, yeah.
So I said, okay, fine. I'll make you your egg and bread and everything. Please come down for breakfast. She's like, no, actually, we are so full. And he gave her a dirty look and he said, no, we are eating. I said, okay, fine, come down. And I made nice breakfast, put it on the table. I thought maybe they're tired or maybe this guy really wants to eat. And you won't believe it, they didn't come out for the next 3 hours. They were locked in the room.
Oh.
They came out in the evening at around 4:35 in the evening. And I'm like, what happened? And they said, no, actually we were quite full. But he wanted to make sure that the breakfast was made because he's paid for it.
That's really sad, you know. Like,
yeah.
They should understand that Airbnb is a different
That's
kind
the
of experience.
Thing. So they don't realize there's a difference between a homestay and a hotel.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think that's going to change as well because now, you know, it's getting more commercial and people would start demanding, you know, I want this, I want that.
Oh, yeah. That's always there. But then it's better to be geared up for all types of people just to expect anything from them, you know.
So yeah. You travel to multiple countries as well, right? And have you stayed in Airbnbs overseas?
About 5-6 years back, I stayed in Barcelona at an Airbnb property.
Okay. How do you feel the Indian hospitality is compared to other countries and all that when it comes to Airbnb hosting?
I think it's very different. I recently stayed, just about 15-20 days back, I was at Prague.
Okay.
I stayed again at an Airbnb property there. And so I just think it's different because for us, I think Indians, for eons we've been told, you know, Atithi Devo Bhava. So it's like, for us, it just comes naturally. We've been brought up, you know, learning how to take care of our guests and, you know, being nice to them. So that warmth and hospitality, I think, just comes naturally to most of us, which does not exist in other countries. I guess the facilities are there, the amenities are there, but right. Then they're not as warm as we are.
That's true.
So I think that's also one of the reasons why the guests who come from abroad and stay with me, they kind of value every little thing that you do for them.
That's true, yes.
Because they don't do it themselves there, you know. So any little favor you do is like, wow, you know, you've really done so much.
Yeah.
So it's very different compared to what it is in India.
I think that's going to help Airbnb in India a lot, I guess. I mean, it depends on the host, but still, you know, it goes a long way compared to... It's just started in India.
Definitely. I think it's just this apprehension about allowing a stranger within your home, especially if the host is living on the property. That's the bigger problem in India, which can be scary. I mean, it actually can be scary because, you know, I had this another episode, I must tell you, which I didn't host. But there was this guy who wrote to me from Chennai. And he had an inquiry to stay for about 3 days. And so I was like, okay, it was available at that time. And then he said, is it possible for you to organize a guide for me?
Okay.
So I said, listen, you're here on work. Why would you need a guide? So he said, no, you know, I might need a guide in the evenings when I go out. So I knew what he was heading at. And so I said, well, most of the happening joints are around my house in Indranagar.
Yeah.
So don't worry, I'm here to give you a list of places where you can go. And that's all you need to go out in the evening. So he said, no, if I need to go out and party or go out pubbing, would you join me? So I knew what this bloke was all about. So I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't go out with my guests. So then he turns around and tells me, I'm quite surprised because I was under the impression, I was told that Airbnb hosts, especially the ladies, are very broad-minded and they mingle with guests. Yeah, and they mingle with their guests. I said, well, then you were writing to the wrong person and also on the wrong portal, definitely not on Airbnb. So I think you better log off from here. And I just, you know, declined.
I guess you had like really, you know, different kinds of experiences and people.
Yeah. It's been quite a
journey.
And I also, in fact, helped another American. It was an American lady with an Indian husband who had three. They came with three kids.
Okay.
And so they were visiting India after a
so
long
you
time.
Host up to 5 guests, is it, in your place?
I have 2 rooms.
Okay.
So one room can accommodate 3 comfortably. I have 3 beds there.
Okay.
And one room, 2. So this couple, there were 5 of them. So the 3 kids were in one room and the couple was upstairs. So, I mean, and they were coming after a long time and they wanted to go out. So I actually did babysitting for them.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
because the second day I just told them, you know, why don't you all just go out and why aren't you all? They said, no, we can't possibly take the kids and go to a lot of places. I said, just leave the kids with me and go, don't worry. And they couldn't believe they actually had somebody say that to them, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
I can't imagine this happening in any other country, you know. So for them, it was like, I said, just leave them. So all the 3 kids used to be with me and these people would go out pubbing and partying and I would manage them at home, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
I just enjoy it, so I guess it doesn't really matter. And end of the stay, when they asked me how much they needed to pay, and I didn't take anything extra. I said, are you sure? For every small service, they were ready to pay.
Okay, right.
You know, they were actually willing to pay, but for me, it just came naturally. I mean, it's no big deal, you know. I mean, I actually forget it's a profession when they're with me.
And for you, it's not about the money, but more about, you know.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
And you really don't depend on Airbnb money, right? You can self-sustain even if there was no Airbnb money.
I can self-sustain, but I would definitely, it definitely a great
helps
help.
As a passive income.
Yes, it definitely helps. Okay. So sometimes it's like there are months where it's really dull. So it's very difficult to see. I've really not been able to say which are the good months and which are the bad months in the year to be prepared.
Okay. So there's no really off-season or on-season, nothing
no,
like that.
No, because right? That, when I think, okay, these are the off-season months, the next year those months do damn well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know how it works, but there are some months which go very slow and some months which are super good. And then I do take them for long stays sometimes. Maximum for about a month or 2 months. So then also it's a good thing. Because
you said that you're entrepreneur and a humble entrepreneur. But I wanted to know if you, collaborated with your guests and probably went in for some projects or some businesses with your Airbnb guests.
Not really, but I have done bonsai workshops for them here.
Okay.
But business wise, no, not as yet at least.
Okay.
But yeah,
but you charge them for the bonsai workshops and all?
Actually, I didn't.
Okay.
And it's just an experience I give them within the home.
You seem to be a very humble guest, you know.
Like I said, I just enjoy it. Okay. It just comes to me, you know. I just love it. I mean, so I've done bonsai workshops for them. Then I had this Japanese couple staying with me and they wanted to know what experience Indian cooking. So I took them to the market with me. They actually picked the vegetables themselves, picked the meat themselves.
That's
we came cool. home, you know, we made the mutton curry and, you know, they actually came to the kitchen and chopped the onions themselves and they wanted to do it all.
Oh, right.
So cooking experience.
So you taught them the Indian cooking style.
Yeah.
But so, some of these guests, especially the foreigners, they're not used to, you know, spicy food and all that.
Yeah, but surprisingly, especially for breakfast, when I ask them, you know, do you want your English breakfast? And most of them say, no, we want to try out Indian breakfast. And they're okay, you know, with the spice. And because my breakfast that I serve is like really heavy. So for them, it's like, they're not used to it, so they love it because then they're done for the day. They don't need to eat out anywhere, you know. They like just come back in the night. So
and do you have long term stays or most? How are your stays? Is it short terms or is it more long terms?
Mostly they're for about 3 to a week, maybe 3 days to a week.
What
but,
is the longest stay you had in your place?
I've had a guest staying with me for 3 months.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, 2 guests, in fact. Even the Scottish lady stayed with me for 2.5 months.
Okay.
And I had the Japanese now who's staying with me is for 2 months.
Okay. The long-term stays, they generally become a part of the house itself, right? Later.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the house. My dogs become part of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you have a, what is the dog's name?
Shih Tzu. I have two Shih Tzus.
Yeah, nice. I've seen the photos. I'll put that up in the footnote so people can.
So, of course, people who don't like dogs, then you have a problem. Okay. But anyway, it's there on my profile, so I mean, obviously, if they've read it there, then they know that they have dogs. So,
okay, let's get to the quick fire round where I'll ask you like multiple, you know, questions regarding Airbnb and your hosting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What amenities do you leave for your guests when they first, you know, come to your place?
I give them all their toiletries, their bed linen is all kept in their rooms. Their Wi-Fi and 24 hours and AC, TV, all that is part of their room.
Okay.
And so it's a well-equipped room that I give them.
Okay. And do you charge a cleaning fee for your guests?
Nominal cleaning fee is.
That's included in the tariff.
That's that's included in the tariff.
And have you had any negative reviews? How do you deal with negative reviews?
So far, none.
Okay.
Except for one American where she had booked the room upstairs and I gave her the room downstairs. She loved her stay, but she just said, you know, I didn't get the room that I'd asked for.
Right.
So that's the only thing. But otherwise, no negative reviews at all.
And I'm sure you would have had even, you know, direct booking requests from Airbnb where they tell you, can I book it off Airbnb? So, do you share your number with guests directly by Airbnb, you know,
no.
Or do you want to go for the direct booking?
No, actually a lot of times you really want to do that.
Yeah.
And I think Airbnb has to make a provision for that, only for one reason, that they genuinely cannot make a payment for some reason, you know, it's not working, the payment gateway does not work.
Yeah, that's true,
You know, and they don't know what to do. Like, I had this lady from Pondicherry once, and she was like, she desperately wanted to come, and she had to leave that night and come to Bangalore. But poor thing tried her best. What do? You can't. I mean, anyway, you can't share your details, so nothing can be done. But I do get bookings outside Airbnb.
Okay. You
direct.
Use other platforms as well?
I don't use too many of them. RightStay I am on, but I would say they are no match to what Airbnb does.
RightStay is also a peer-to-peer kind of
RightStay is Make My Trip. It's part of them, but very, very minimal. I think they've just set up their homestay division, so not much. But most of my outside Airbnb, I would say, is what comes through my social media that I advertise about my homestay.
You have a Facebook page or Instagram page for that?
I have a Facebook page. So my personal profile page on Facebook has, I think, about 15,000 followers.
Wow. Okay. That's great.
So anything I put up there obviously kind of really reaches a large audience. And I have a business page as well, which is my garden page, which has again 6,000 people. So
wow, you seem to be a really famous, you know, landscapist. And
landscapist, yes. Bangalore quite well known with my landscaping.
You keep doing multiple landscape projects as well?
Yeah. I take up large resort projects, large penthouses. So I design and execute the job for them.
Okay. Coming back to Airbnb, do you screen your guests and how do you do it?
I kind of ask them a few questions maybe before they do the booking as to, you know, what their purpose of stay is. And
so you don't have the instant booking on, is it, for your listing?
I do have.
Okay.
So if that comes as instant, then of course, thankfully, I've not had a bad experience with any of the instanters.
Okay.
And I think it's good to have instant booking, yeah.
Do you use any apps or other services to run your Airbnb hosting business?
No, not really. No. I know there are a couple of them that have come up, but I think so. But I'm not using anything. I don't see the need as of now. Yeah, but yes, if I plan to start co-hosting and maybe tie up few other properties.
Yeah.
If I do that, maybe then I need it. But within my home, It's like just part of home. So
how do you manage your Airbnb hosting when you're traveling or you're out of town?
So I have a full-time domestic help who manages my kitchen, and she's pretty much used to managing the guests and you know, their needs and all of that. So if it's during my travel time, then I do let them know even before they book that I will not be on the property, and you know,
So you don't have a co-host to manage your place though?
No, not really. But it's really not required. I mean, I think it's within your running home, so I've not seen the need for it.
Okay. Do you have any tips, or what is the biggest tip you could give for your fellow Airbnb hosts?
I think the best way to host is be natural, you know. Just be yourself, you know, just treat them as a home guest.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, the more you try to go out of your way to please them, and you know that, then I think you lose the charm of it being a homestay. So I think a host can be a super host when you're just supernatural. That's it.
Okay, that's awesome. That's a nice tip.
Yeah.
And what is your goals? You know, going ahead with Airbnb hosting, or do you have any future plans?
Yeah, I really wish to tie up with a lot of other properties within Bangalore and in other places. I was trying to tie up with some properties in Goa and Kerala as well. But I mean, this year has been a super busy year because I got all my three kids married in 1 year.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
thank
you. So because of that, I couldn't do it. But I'm sure by end of this year, I'm free, and then I'll start doing that. Yeah, start tying up with a few properties.
And coming to a close, what is the one thing that you feel I should have asked but didn't?
Maybe I think it's you know what a host really needs to be prepared for. It's like I would say expect the unexpected. So, you know, that's something which every host needs to know. So I think whether it's a health problem or a babysitting problem, or, you know, a sudden travel plan changes with a guest, you know, that can happen anytime. You know, people can go absolutely berserk with their plans, and, you know, property damage, which is really not intentional, but can happen, you know, language problems, you know, how you deal with that. I've had people with depressions where you actually sit and counsel them. So there are a lot of these things which as a guest, as a host, you really need to be prepared for. You can't just take hosting for granted, you know, and just say, you know, you have the amenities and I'm, you know, I'm ready for it. So there are a lot of things that you need to really prepare yourself for, which I really would like to, you know, tell the hosts about. Yeah.
Talk about property damage. How do you deal with that? Do you charge your guests if they do some damage to your property?
Well, if it's again, it's left up to you. Sometimes it's...
That's happened though, right?
Yeah, it's already happened. So it depends on the extent of the damage, depends on what type of a guest, depends on how much you really want to let go or not let go, or what kind of people they are. So it really, it's left up to you totally. But then you got to be prepared for it. You can't, you know throw a tantrum or lose your cool if that happens. It's natural, it's going to happen.
Yes,
you know, it can happen by anybody. It can happen by your home guest as well, you know. So these some things you just have to be prepared for. And even a health episode, I mean, like I told you, anything can happen, you know. So it's very important that you're prepared for these kind of things rather than just taking it for granted and saying, especially for people who just give their house keys. I really don't know. I mean, I would say it's there's more advantage in being part of the,
you stay with your guests, right?
Yeah, I think it's better that way.
Yeah. All right, thanks Veena for coming on our show and for episode number 5. We'll put up all the details of Veena's hosting and the listings on our website. You guys can check it out. And what is the best way they can get in touch with you?
Oh, they can give me a call, they can write to me.
And I will put up even Veena's Facebook pages so you guys can go like her and, you know, probably stay with her in the future.
Yeah, it was lovely, Manish. Thanks so much. Thank you very much for having me for this episode.
All right, Veena. Thanks a lot. We'll see you on the flip side.